Zeitgang, do you have your tickets yet for the live Daily Zeitgeist podcast that's happening August 25th at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern? It's a Wednesday, and look, if you can't make it, you can still watch it on demand as long as you buy a ticket. And you don't want to miss this. It's going to be me. It's going to be Jack. It's going to be super producer Anna Hosnier. And it's going to be special guest Chris Crofton. We will be here for an interactive show. Talk to us in the chat. We'll talk back. Ask us questions. We hope to see you there. Go to momenthouse.com/thedailyzeitgeist to get your tickets.
Hey, it's Herbert. And you're listening to the About Last Night podcast, you slippery little son of a bitch.
Loaded.
Loaded?
I said, oh, it said, I don't know if you heard the robot voice going, this meeting is being recorded. And I said, noted.
Yeah, sorry about that. I was like, God, that feels like very intrusive with that. Like, you know, it's being recorded, but for whatever reason, that just made it feel like I need you to have you sign some paperwork now.
Right. It did. I was like, oh, how though? Different?
There's never going to be a better automated voice that even Siri is. I don't know if you use her a lot or at all, but like even that voice seems like she's plotting something while she's trying to help you. No?
Oh, I think so. They just changed the voice. I don't know how much you're on TikTok, Adam. How much are you on TikTok?
Great question. Can you hear me okay? You sound great.
I can hear you. Do I sound okay?
Yep. You look great. You look rested.
Recording?
We are recording. We just launched right into it. You think I want to waste great. This TikTok? I just want to make sure
before I really turn it on. I don't want to be giving you gold and you're like, and now we'll start.
Let's be honest, you're always on. A lot of people say, Taylor, you can't shut it off. No. by the way, that has happened. I once did a real quick tangent, a kid's podcast at a McDonald's in like Bloomington, Indiana. And the kid just sent like such a, I'm sure I actually want to know how much you, will take on these types of unexpected, I was going to say challenges, just people that reach out to you. Like, I'm a young comic. I got a podcast. It would mean a lot. I'm a huge fan. You know, you get those. And then sometimes it's a very lengthy, like, diatribe of like the first comic I ever saw when I was 5. And my dad used to do an impression of you. And like, that was the last time I saw him. And so like he and I, like, you know what I'm saying? Just very specific to where you're like, I got to do this kid's fucking podcast. Otherwise he'll burn down that McDonald's. So we did it, and about, no joke, 30 minutes in, and I just assume always. I'm just like, I sit down, and I just start joking, and I just assume because that's how I have always done it, because I don't want to miss stuff, because I've done it where I have started and missed stuff. 30 minutes in, he goes, all right, well, let's get going. And I was like, I had turned it up a notch. Like, I told, like, 5 stories that, like, I feel like I've never told. I was really trying to make it a great pod for him, and he goes, all right, well, I think this is a good warm up. Let's record. And I was
dude,
what?
And then I'm half done. You have another half hour. I'm half done here.
You're getting 30 minutes left, and it's gonna be a really terrible 30 minutes. I'm gonna phone it in now because you, yeah. Okay, so quick tangent. Do you get those? Those messages.
Yeah, you know what I get that I have never done and I think is weird is I get a good amount of people going, I'm doing a project at school and I'm studying and I'm like, I can't, at least a podcast is going, at least like probably 14 people heard that podcast you did. I'm just like helping you do if an that. Assignment. Like yeah. I dropped out of college. I don't want to help do a project. You're not my kid.
Yeah.
Build your mission. Like, it's so weird to me that you would ask that. There was, and I feel bad because they're going out on a limb. Like, there was a girl who stopped me on the street in New York. I was like, I just got to like shoot my shot here. I just got to do it. Like, I'm doing this project and like, I don't know if it was a project or a documentary. I don't know what she was talking about, to be honest with you. And she was like, can I just get your email and we can, maybe I can like follow you around to clubs, like something like that. And I was like, I don't even know what to say. So I gave her the email address I give to like H&M when they're like, do you want to be on our,
wait,
because I didn't know what to do. Cause I'm like, give a stranger my personal email. I'm like, shit, and I don't have the time to be like, this is really inappropriate what you're doing and you shouldn't do it again. But I'm just like, here, Hotmail. Like, I don't know.
I thought you were going to say, I give H&M the same email, or I gave her the same email I gave H&M when they asked me to do their podcast.
If H&M had a podcast, I would do it.
That's what I'm saying. Bad example.
Oh, but I was going to ask you earlier because you said the thing about Siri.
Yeah.
And her voice sounded like she was plotting something. I don't know how much you're on TikTok, but they have the like voice to speech text.
You use that quite a bit now, yeah?
TikTok or that specific feature?
That feature.
I use that feature somewhat, yeah. I mean, I'm not as good at TikTok as I probably should be, but they changed the voice on that. So now it's much more like warm and engaging and natural. And cool. I don't like it.
Oh.
I prefer it when you were like, that's a robot. Like, I don't like it now that it's like, hey, so let's do that. Like, it's way smoother. And I'm like, it was also funnier when it was like, this is the voice I'm using to read my joke. Like, that was just funnier.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess you don't, it's like, we want our robots to be robots. We don't want our robots to sound like people. Does that make sense? Cause then it truly feels like the takeover's beginning.
Yes. 100%. I also love that you and I are wearing virtually the same shirt. You're wearing a more expensive version.
I'm just showing quite a bit more chest hair.
I shaved mine, but you have like the white piping. Like, this looks like it was a stylist got this for you.
Well, I love that, by the way. Great. I'll take that compliment because I shot myself, but I make a lot of bad choices. The amount of times I've seen something on a rack, put it on, taken a look in the mirror before I go to the club and been like, okay, and then go into the bathroom at the club and go, fuck.
No. And everyone's taking photos now. So you're like, well, hope the photographer's in the main room for my
The first 3 minutes is just chastising your fashion choices. And I'm just like, yeah, I thought I liked this shirt, but look at what a weird color. Like insecurely commenting unnecessarily where people are like, dude, it's, I don't know. It's like nobody was really, you brought it up. Now, guess what? Now that's all I'm thinking about.
Yeah. Also, you probably picked that shirt to wear for the joke. And you're like, no, I actually feel bad. I developed this bit in the car. I developed this fear. Oh, I wanted to ask you too. Are you just friends with Lily James?
Man.
Cut this out if you don't want to talk about it, but you put it on Instagram. What? How do you know Lily James?
Yo, so I I don't know if I can say who I'm playing, but I'm on a few episodes of this show called Pam and Tommy for Hulu that Seth Rogen is starring and producing in about Pam Anderson and Tommy Lee. I know this was before, I don't know, how old were you in 95?
Two.
So you remember.
Oh, so you get it. So your first memory.
Your first memory was the Pam and Tommy sex tape, of course. Temecula couldn't shut up about it. So she's playing Pam Anderson in this show for Hulu about Pam. And so that sex tape, do you even know of that?
Yes, I do know of that.
So that was like the first real sex tape, like from celebs that got like big national attention. And it wasn't done strategically like, you know, the people.
Not
since,
like how we do it now.
Not like how we do it, which is planned, you know, the lighting's better.
Because no one was asking for it. Everyone's like, they did that? We're like, for one. My PR team's a nightmare.
Yeah, it's never a sex tape from anybody. Wait, say it again?
It's on Quibi. So like,
my sex tapes on Quibi is a great joke.
Inside.
Thank God. No. Yeah. Thank God. Nobody's going to see it. It's on Quibi.
It's just a cast room.
Katzenberg's in the crowd. He's just like, like, I tried my best, man. I don't know what he sounds like, but so, So they did the sex tape and it got stolen by Seth Rogen, who was working for them. He's playing the guy that was working for them, got stiffed on some money, stole the shit that was in their safe. The tape was in there. They didn't know it was stolen until it was on the internet. So it wasn't a planned move. So I saw her in an interview where she was like, we didn't make any money from that. Like all these ones now, they leaked it out like because it was already out. So what could we, they might have sued and stuff like that. But anyway, it's about that whole time, that whatever. And I'm on the show and she's playing Pam Anderson. And so in the few episodes I did, all our scenes were pretty much together. And, you know, I try to always chum it up on set. But like you feel it out. If people aren't vibing with it, then I just back away. But I don't know. I can't sit and just and not try to make small talk because I just it's uncomfortable for me. And which is why I've probably ruined so many Thanksgivings, because I'm just like, so Aunt Barb, you still got that weird fucking foot thing? She's like, silence would have been better. But so we got to become chummy. And I always, whether it's someone super famous and cool like that, or, you know, the people that were doing my prosthetics for the show, I invite people to shows because I'm like, what a fucking cool, I don't know. It's also, it's such a great thing to have to share. And, you know, being at so many cool rooms where you can, you know, get a little hookup and stuff. And so I extended it to her and she, you know, followed up and brought some homies and came, had never been to the Comedy Store. And it was just such a great show. It was like a nice packed OR. I think you were across the way in the main room because I could hear people just going fucking crazy. And
what happened? the OR from the main room. I think I commented on it halfway through my set. And I was like, that's what I like to hear. The faint murmur of a much better song. The main room was weird the other night. They were weird. And they accidentally put me as a pop-in on the OR. And I was like, I'm not going to do that because, like, I'm not famous. So, like, I'm not going to go pop in on anything. So I just didn't go. And then I saw you post that Lily James there, and I fucking love her. And I was like, oh, my God. I was like, you could have done comedy for Lily James.
I know.
And then I was like, you know what? This is better. It's also so impressive to me that you invite people to shows because, like, I don't even want people who love me unconditionally to come to shows in case it doesn't go well. And so the fact that you'd be like, oh, hello, famous person I've become friends with. You should just come see me do stand-up. I'm that confident in my abilities as a performer that nothing's going to go wrong and you will have a great time. And I would, like, never do that. I'd be like, you can watch me do stand-up. You can watch clips that I have approved.
Yeah, that are on the internet.
I'll text it to you. And don't be going into that, like, side column on YouTube of suggested videos. You stay where I send you, okay?
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I mean, it is a crapshoot. I guess I don't know. It is a crapshoot because even when they were coming to the show, I was like, they couldn't make the Supernova show before, and I go, the store will be great. And then I'm like, it actually could be a half full OR, and maybe I'm at least confident enough to know they're gonna walk away having a good time. But guess you're right. You don't know. It could truly just be a shit show, or maybe it's the one night I lose it and just have a meltdown, and then they cut me. Me have a meltdown? Oh, it's happened.
Has it?
I did it at Supernova, but in a funny way. But I definitely real rage was coming through. There was a couple from Victorville.
Oh, yeah. That's enough detail for me. Now I know who's in the wrong.
That's so funny. Yeah. And they driven, it's a couple hours. It's Temecula Jason, isn't it?
Probably.
Hilarious. They were.
Is what it is, but it's nice.
It's nice. Hey, look, every place has its own flavor, said nobody ever. But these people just were a shit show. And literally, I'm on like my last joke, and this woman just goes, next. And I go, what's that? And I always kill it with kindness. I go, oh, and I could have probably skipped over it. You always have a choice, but there was just enough silence to where I was like, I think a lot of people heard that. So I go, what was that? She goes, next. I go, and by the way, it was a great crowd. I was doing my thing. It's all subjective, but I would say most people were enjoying what was happening. At least that's what I'll tell myself. And then, and so she goes next, and I go, well, that wasn't a very nice thing to say. I go, but you know what? Comedy is subjective. Not everything I said resonated with you tonight. It's all good. This is a great example of things you can just say in your head next time so that I don't feel like jumping off the roof post show. And then I'm like, but all good. I go, but, and then you're right. There are more people coming up next. So that you are right about. And then I try to move on. She keeps chirping. So now I'm like, well, now I'm going to try to handle this. I'm literally about to do probably a minute left tops. So then I just end up getting into it with them. And then they start really chirping back to where it's like, not only do I need to now protect the show and walk off with some dignity, but like now it's just, you know, I've dealt with these things a lot. And now I take pride in the way I handle it and make it still fun, not get abusive and abrasive. But now I got to spin this shit show into some funny before I leave for the rest of the comics. And so I keep giving them chances and then they just keep being. So then finally I was like, I don't want to kick you guys out. There's only two more comics, but I will. It's a long drive back to Victorville. Like just knowing you have to go back there is probably not going to make that drive fun. And then a few more things. And then I just was like, get the fuck out. And then everybody started cheering because I was giving so many chances. And then I was just like, something like clicked where I got really defensive about what they were doing to the show because everyone was having such a good time and it was such a good lineup. And I was just like, I was like, we didn't survive a goddamn pandemic so that you two could come out and fucking try to make this whole shit about you and try to ruin my dream. Like, but, and I just was like, we're on this like monologue that like, you know, if there was like six cameras taping, I would have put it on my reel for sure. But I was like, I was surprised myself how fired up I got to where I was like screaming and pointing at the edge of the stage, but everyone stood up and then I went like this and got everybody up. And it's like, and then they left. So I kick them out. They're stumbling out. I'm making jokes as they're leaving. So still kind of keeping it light, whatever. But people were going nuts, Taylor. It was like true, like felt like gladiator shit, the way that like in the round and people stood up, like applauding them to get out. So that was the closest I've felt in a while to getting really bubbled up like that.
Yeah, it's great that that went well because sometimes you yell at people and it just ruins the show.
Yeah.
Because everybody's uncomfortable.
Hey guys, Adam Ray here for the About Last Night podcast. And look, everyone's getting a little overwhelmed by what's going on in the world. If you're feeling this, you're not alone. It's important to find the support you need to face those feelings and move forward. So I'm talking to you about Talkspace. We all talk to our friends when we're going through issues, but they don't have the advice we need. If you want to talk to a professional, somebody who really can give you practical advice, this is the place for you. Over 50% of Americans struggle with their mental health. I know I have my ups and downs. You know, there's days when I'm feeling good. There's days when I need to talk to my mom, but even my mom can't give me the answers I want. So, you know, that's why Talkspace makes it easy to match you with a licensed therapist and schedule live video sessions, all from the comfort of your own device. Start messaging your therapist the same day you sign up. And they make it easy on the app so that you can get connected, make your own schedule, and not have to wait weeks before your next appointment. You can go anywhere and take your therapist with you. Whether you're a parent, student, millennial, or just someone having a tough day, right? Like a comic like me who fucking might have a bad set and go home and be like, should I jump off the roof or should I just eat some soup? Talkspace can provide the support to help you feel better with a single message. They offer individual and couples therapy, which I'm starting to do with my fiance, in addition to medication prescription services. Set goals with your therapist, and they can help make sure you're really progressing. Talkspace therapists help you develop tools to cope in difficult times, which is what we all need. They have thousands of licensed therapists available to match with you. They're experts in dozens of specialties, including anxiety, depression, relationships, and more to help you start feeling better. If you want to match with a licensed therapist, go to Talkspace.com and get $100 off your first month with the promo code LASTNIGHT. That's $100 off when you use the promo code LASTNIGHT at Talkspace.com. Start feeling better because you deserve it. That's not their slogan, but it freaking should be. And now back to the episode.
I was doing shows in Spokane and there was a drunk guy right in the front who kept talking and I kept having to say, and I just went, I looked at him and I was like, what was that? And he just was doing, and I went, and I said to everyone else, I was like, I'm trying to decide how to handle this.
Yeah.
And I went, nope, going to rise above it and kept going. And they were like, no, get it. And I was like, nope. I was like, you think you want that? You don't want that. You think you want that? I was like, it's not fun to publicly humiliate someone. You think it'll be fun because you watch YouTube videos, but it's not fun. All right. It's not fun for everybody. It makes everyone feel weird. It ruins the show. Rising above it. And then that guy got kicked out quietly by security. So shout out to Comedy Club security. I hate it when there's somebody so drunk in a club and being really rude and aggressive and nobody talks to them or kicks them out or anything.
Oh yeah.
Like, you're just like, oh, I thought I thought we were all doing a show. Like, I didn't think I was just interrupting everyone's dinner. Like, you serve chicken fingers. So it's not, don't be like, we have to keep them here. That's a patron of the restaurant. Like, it's no. just.
Yeah. It's there should really be a one strike. I am curious the way, you know, because you have well-crafted, you know, brilliant jokes. So for somebody that's like truly up there with a, you know, on a mission and trying to, you know, work this out for your next upcoming Netflix special taping December
4th
at.
Oh, at the Paramount in Austin.
In Austin. That's right. I knew yeah, that. I love it.
7:30.
One show?
No, we're doing two. They're both sold out. And I think we're going to add another one in earlier in the week, but we're not filming that one, obviously. But yeah, we're doing two shows at the Paramount in Austin, December 4th.
Taylor, what the fuck? You know. Adding shows. I saw you make a very sweet, appreciative post the other day while you were in your hotel room that was really sweet. And can you just speak to that a little bit more? Because, you know, it is people see people like where you're at and they just go, yeah, look how fucking funny she is. Of course, she's adding shows and selling out, you know. And
there are some people who don't think that, but thank you.
Stop. Stop. But you know, it's, I don't think it's lost on the people that are doing it of like the work that it takes and that it isn't guaranteed of that to happen. You go, yeah, hopefully if I work hard and I'm nice and I'm like Conan says, right? Like you're kind, you work hard, you put in the time, the good things are going to happen.
Yeah,
that should be how it goes. But man, there are, I'm sure we both know. And just, you know, the countless people that have probably put in all that and then just had not things go according to plan. So when it's happening like this, how often are you kind of reflecting or just being like, man, this is fucking, or when you get the news of an added show, do you geek out about it? Like you just met Tom Hanks at a Panera?
If I met Tom Hanks at a Panera, I would be deceased. But you know, I'm very grateful. I'm also very anxious. So like, as soon as we add a show, my first thought is like, oh, I hope I can sell that show. Like I'd like to be better about being appreciative before I'm scared. And it's part of why I so appreciate, like, you know, my buddy, Dustin Nickerson, who's a great comic as well.
Love Dustin.
Yeah, he's so good. And he comes on the road with me. You can watch his special for free on YouTube.
Yeah.
And he like is really good about when I'm freaking out about stuff, I'm going like, this is the best. Like you sold out all these shows. Look at this. This is great. This is all you ever wanted. Like he'll like keep me grounded in that way sometimes. And then, you know, like, I think it's important to have people close to you who can go like, hey, I see you freaking out about other stuff. Try to appreciate what's happening right now, because this is crazy. Like really think about it. And so, yeah, I just had a moment of that in Spokane. We did like, I think we did 7 shows.
Oh my God. Right? 7?
Yeah. We did 2 Thursday, 2 Friday, 3 Saturday. And it was just, you know, it's like amazing. I was like, I can't believe that like a year ago, I had never, well, maybe a year and a half ago, I guess, before the pandemic, I had never sold out a weekend. And now we sell out every weekend since we've been back out. And it's just like
everyone.
Yeah. I think we've sold out every weekend.
Oh my God.
Every single, it's crazy. It's so insane. And so to just have a moment of like, oh, we sold like 2,000 tickets in Spokane. Like, that's crazy. Like yeah. The last time you were here was right before the pandemic and you were not selling this well, even close to it. So
there's not even 2,000 people in Spokane. So
people were like, we flew in from Seattle. There was some people who drove from Salt Lake City. Like, it's like crazy. It's so incredibly nice. And like, I'm trying to pay less attention to the part of my brain that goes like, can't last forever. Don't get fucking comfortable.
Yep.
And pay more attention to the part of my brain that's like, oh my God, I can't believe it. You know, like,
yeah.
It's just, I'm trying to be there more often. Cause it is really cool. And like, I was getting nervous about the COVID stuff. I do think that, we're starting to see like theaters are probably just going to be like, you have to show that you're vaccinated or that you got a negative COVID test in the last few days. And honestly, like, if you don't want to do that, don't fucking come. Like, whatever. If you have your reason for like, I can't get vaccinated or I don't want to be vaccinated, fine. But even you have an alternative for like, and by the way, you should be getting vaccinated if you can. But like, if even if you're one of those people who's like, I'm not getting vaccinated, then to be like, and I'm not going to get a COVID test. It's like, then fuck off, truly.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Anyway, come see me on tour, teatowncomedy.com. I just, whatever. And I am glad that they're implementing that because it'll make some people feel a lot safer, myself.
Oh, yeah.
But,
yeah, they just did that for Theo's special, had to lay down the law. And yeah, I mean, it's unfortunately, well, fortunately, I think, you know, there should just be foots being put down to be like, if you want to go to these things or around a bunch of people and enjoy and get back to normalcy, then this is the what we have to all do. But unless, and you know, it's like you say, if they don't want to do it, then don't come. And then yeah. I'm sure there's always a piece of you that's like, well, I don't want to not have people come to the show. But it's like, that's a very hard stance to be taking that says a lot. So maybe don't bring your shitty energy to the show unless your demo is all anti-vaxxers. Then you're probably like, all right, you know.
Then you've probably been touring this whole time and had no trouble at all. And you're like, what happened? I don't
even. Yeah. What's that?
Like, just like, I was fine. Yeah. I don't know. Just been hanging in Florida for a year and a half or whatever.
How were your, is it dessert Sunday you do?
Dustin and I do dessert Saturday. Because we're pretty dedicated to it. I had like a month and a half that I was eating very specifically for like health reasons. And then we got back to it in Spokane, which was nice. But I don't remember. I think we started doing it in Raleigh like a couple years ago or something. We started doing it because the weekend was just kind of long. And like, we would go to like improvs and we'd be like, oh man, Brownie Sunday sounds good, but we're not going to do it. And then at a certain point, we're like, maybe we do it like one night. Maybe we do it like Saturday as like a reward. It's like the end of the weekend. Or if we had Sunday shows, you're like, ah, we need it Saturday to kind of push through. And we just, I think it was Dustin who just started going, dessert Saturday. And now clubs will like get us stuff that's like amazing. Yeah. Spokane like really did it up. The Brea Improv like really did it up. Got us like these incredible cookies. Like it's pretty fun. We got, when we were in Salt Lake City, we got Mexican food, which like for two people who came up in San Diego was so stupid, like such a rookie mistake to get Mexican food in like Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
But we got food poisoning. We both had food poisoning and we still did dessert Saturday.
Well, yeah. Still,
it was one of like the best ones we've ever had. It was the best cookie I've ever eaten in my life. And look, we paid for it, but that's what the green room's for. So we're very dedicated to it. It's very fun. It's a nice little thing on the road. And he's also not with me every weekend. So if he's not with me, I don't do it. But if we're together, it's fun to do. Yeah.
It's also a cool thing that you've just, because, you know, you've been so good about creating, like when you and Sam did your pod and just your sketches in quarantine, like you're good at finding these things that, and it's cool that you're not doing it with the intention of like a dessert Saturday that catches on. Then I get dessert Sunday, dessert Monday. Then I get a show called Dessert Week. You know, it's like,
well, I shouldn't be thinking about it that way.
No, it's good that you're not, because now it's happening organically. And I'm sure at some point, because of your following and your likability and your funniness, that things like that happen when it's like, because I now look forward to it. Like, okay. Especially, and after those last, the Brea one was really special. And then the Spokane one really made me, that's what made me something click in my brain where I was just like, oh, something's going to happen from this. I don't know what it is or when it is, but like, you're just shining I don't know. Whether it's falls in line with like the cheat meal or whatever, but it's like, the name sounds good. I don't know if it's the name of like a,
definitely a cheat meal for sure.
Cookies and,
Dustin wasn't there and we were shitting on him the whole time for not being there, but the staff had gotten us and it was so good.
Are cookies is that your move?
Cookies and donuts.
Yeah.
Our moves. Yeah.
If I could wrap two chocolate chip cookies around an apple fritter.
Oh, my whole body felt that. My whole body felt that reference. Oh my God.
Oh my. Now I know the keys apple to your heart.
Exist.
Was that?
You forget apple fritters exist.
I don't. And
go to a donut. Is that your go-to every time?
I'll be honest. I had a donut for the first time probably in almost probably 2 years, about a month ago. And I just, it was a, you know, one of those Sundays where I was like, I'm going to try to not do anything. I have shows that I'm going to try to just chill and lounge. And same thing, had been, you know, trying to be on it for a little bit, and was just like, I haven't fucking had, I think I saw a commercial maybe for a donut or a quick scrolling through the tube. I, you know, Amanda and I like to watch a lot of these food things on TikTok, and a buddy of mine and his wife started one. They're called Devour Power in New York, where they just go around to all these amazing spots and highlight all these great items. And we got to do a couple with them out there. And so they did one of a pastry at something. And I just was like, I will fuck an apple fritter right now if it shows up at the door and it's consensual.
An open trench coat. There'll be a lingerie.
Apple fritter lingerie.
Oh my God. That sounds delicious.
It does. I got way too excited for that as a true hi sharks. Tired of not being able to eat the shit that your significant other, they're like, we're going to just stop you. Right. We just don't even know where this is going, but it's a hard no.
Never had edible panties before. Me neither. Cause they're gross. But you know what I would have if you made panties out of it? Apple fritter.
Donut bras. So I'm looking for $2 billion for 4% of the company. Nope. All right.
Hey, guys, it's Jack.
And Miles.
From the Daily Zeitgeist. And on August 25th at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. for all you filthy night owls on the East Coast, we are bringing you the year 2000 in a live streaming audio-visual extravaganza.
An iconic moment, if you will, where we riff on the ridiculous styles, trends, news, and music from the year 2000, and you know we will definitely be talking about Shrek. And we might even answer some of your questions.
And just generally, we're going to be taking a deep dive into the ideas and trends from Y2K that you didn't realize actually created and kind of ruined the modern world.
Yes. And we are thrilled to be joined with a special guest, none other than Chris Crofton, who may or may not have a murky recollection of the year, but whose takes are wonderfully accepted nonetheless.
And you can watch it all from the comfort of your own home, office, car, public pool, public bathhouse, wherever you want to watch it.
Wow. And don't worry, if you can't be there live, you don't have to worry, because your ticket gets you access to the video on demand version of the show, so you can watch it anytime you want.
Watch it at your leisure. But you that is how I pronounce that word. But you have to get a ticket. So go to momenthouse.com/thedailyzeitgeist. That's momenthouse.com/thedailyzeitgeist. Be there.
Wait, so what's your go-to donut then?
Mine is old-fashioned maple.
Ooh.
That's my go-to.
Classic.
The best donuts, maybe the best dessert Saturday we've done is Hertz Donuts. I think they have locations in other places. I forget the first place we had it, but we had it somewhere, and then we got it again in Phoenix. And I think we had to drive like 25 minutes to get it. And it was so worth it. Those donuts are insane. They're the best donuts I've ever had in my life. They were so good. And we've had some really good donuts. So yeah, if I'm going to have dessert, look, I don't want to have ice cream. That'll mess me up pretty quick. They have very good like vegan ice cream options. But like, if I'm going to do dessert, I would like a donut or a cookie or a brownie. That is what I would like.
Yeah. God, I wish I had hired somebody to be like, well, turn around, because Damien has one of each. Come on out, Damien. Just a tray.
To even talk about it, because then you really want them.
I know.
Like, do you ever, I mean, what was I watching? Oh, I feel like Sam and I were watching Simpsons one night, and it was like 1 a.m. because you're like trying to fall asleep. And they had like a big pretzel. It's animated. It's not even a real big pretzel. And they had a big pretzel. And I was like, oh my God, I want a big pretzel. He's like, really? And I'm like, yeah, like so bad. He's like, do you want to get one tomorrow? And I was like, no, I want like right now. Like, I don't want. And he's like, do you want, I don't know how we'd get. And I was like, no. I mean, we're going to sleep. I don't want one. And then the next day I totally forgot about it. until like 6 p.m. And I was like, oh yeah, I don't. That sounds gross now. And he's like, yeah. That was so weird that you want to, I'm like, I don't know. Sometimes it just really hits you where you're like, I got to have Top Ramen. Although every like 6 years, I'm like, I really want Top Ramen. And oh, then yeah. I get Top Ramen and it's always worth it.
Always.
Always.
Wait, are you doing so Top Ramen, not Cup of Noodle, huh? You were on the other side of the tracks.
Trash.
All right, easy.
Sorry. I have very intense feelings. You like Cup of Noodle?
Up in the Northwest. I had Cup of Noodle until I dropped it all over my... I'm surprised that I even have a working penis at this point. Because I spilled cup of soup on it in the fifth grade. And the water was at... It was fresh out of the microwave. This is just like, you know, and this was just good. You're like cup of noodle, like you were just having a cheat meal. No, this was single mom dinner 4 nights a week.
Right.
And so I'm spilling this shit and it burned. I mean, so bad. I'm tapping into it right now. It was awful. My sister just laughed and was just like, that's what you get. And so that kind of took cup of soup out of the rotation for a minute because I just didn't trust myself.
Yeah, that's fair.
Top
Ramen is like a whole thing. You gotta. It has to be on the stove. You gotta have.
It's more of an art to it. Yeah, cup of soup is for the lazy fat kids. You know.
When I did Top Ramen, Top Ramen's one of those things too that makes you feel like you can eat it while you're sick and that you're taking care of yourself, but you're still not.
You're actually making it worse.
Yeah, you're like, I'm nourishing myself. This is soup. And it's like, not really. That's like a chemical. That's like a hot water chemical cocktail. You put like angel hair in. Like, you're not.
Yeah. It's one of those things, too. You just go, I don't want to know what Top Ramen's made of. Like, yeah. I hate those people that go, you know what's in that, right? Dude, please don't ruin this for me. It's a once in a blue moon thing, and I want to enjoy it. And if it's the thing that takes me out, then That was supposed to be my story.
Yeah. I feel that way about Taco Bell too. Is like sometimes when you really want Taco Bell and it's like you have it and it's perfect. It's like perfect. So sometimes you go to a shitty Taco Bell and it like, you're like, this wasn't worth it. It didn't spot. But then sometimes you go and you're like, the people at this Taco Bell care about what they're doing.
Yeah.
The ratio's perfect. This has not been sitting out. They made this for me. And I'm good for the next like year.
The wrapper's fresh. It like it's almost like a new book. Like the like you just fit you're like it's like the new like wax paper. Like you're like, this is fresh off the press.
Yes. I'm at the Scholastic Book Fair getting French Wrap Supreme.
Did you read a lot as a kid? Do you read now? You seem like someone that strikes me as someone that's like, I'll take a book rec from a stranger and follow through.
I'll take a book rec and I will buy the book and I will not read it. Gotcha. I read a lot as a kid, because I wasn't cool and I was undergoing traumatic events. And yes. I saw a TikTok recently. Look, whatever. I'm 27. I'm on TikTok. Fuck everybody. But there was
this the right age.
No, everyone on TikTok who I think is my age is 24. Everybody's just like a little. And those 3 years make a big difference. Like, they're so much more open-minded than I am. Like, they make me feel elderly where they're like, well, why does that even matter? And I'm like, that's all that I thought I was progressive. Like, it's so humiliating to be confronted with how old you are. But I saw this TikTok of this girl talking about, she goes, if you used to read a lot as a kid and you have trouble focusing now and you like scroll on your phone a lot, she's like, you were using reading as a coping mechanism and now you've just replaced it with something more distracting for you. And I was like, oh my God, because I got into TikTok during the pandemic when I was in like the depths of despair.
Yeah.
And that's why I think TikTok became more mainstream during the pandemic, because people had the time to get into it. Because at first you're like, what is this? I don't really get this. There's no rhyme or reason to it. And it takes time for the app to like learn what you like and show you stuff you like. And it's the only thing that really distracts me in a way nothing else does. Like, there are nights where I'm like, I don't know what I want to watch. And I'm like, oh, I want to watch TikTok.
Yeah. Well, it's, I don't know. There's something too, that's very, I don't even know the word I'm looking for, but just to be able to see so much different shit in a short amount of time from yeah. all over the world, just like that, is really appealing.
Yeah. And I learned stuff from TikTok. I learned, like, there are therapists on TikTok. There are doctors on TikTok. There are makeup artists on TikTok. There are people cleaning on TikTok. There is a woman on TikTok named Anne. She's probably in her 50s or 60s. She lives in the English countryside. She cleans homes. She's very happy. She's like grown. I know she has grown daughters because she's referenced them and I got jealous. And she is just pure. She makes like 12 TikToks a day. She makes them all day. She just, whatever she wants. Just, here's my dog. Oh, some of you asked me how to clean a hardwood floor. Here's how you do it. Like, just talking about current events. And it's so comforting. And it got me through some of the darkest points this year. Is just knowing that Anne, there was a day she didn't post at all. And I was texting my siblings, like, guys, I'm worried about Anne. She usually, it's
wow.
Cause I got used, she's 8 hours ahead of me. And so, you know, in the morning, she'd be like getting ready for bed. In my morning, she'd be getting ready for bed. And then like at night, she'd be just waking up if I was checking it at like midnight. And I just got really used to her. And I was like, yeah, of course this is gonna make me feel better. Then, I don't know, reading Harry Potter again. Like, this is I have a mom again. Like, this is great.
Would you consider that your vice? Because you don't drink, you don't smoke, nerd.
I think it probably is. I'm very like specific about my diet and stuff. Like, I do think my vice is probably TikTok, but I do watch it less now. There was a while when we shut down again. Every night I was like in the bath at 6 p.m. watching TikTok for
sounds
like
lovely.
Oh my God. It was so nice, Adam. It was so nice.
I wish it could be
luxury.
I love that you say that you take baths. Because that's like something that I secretly aspire. I wish I could be a bath guy. I don't know. Is that a thing? I just a bath person because, and I know you're like, men don't bathe, men shower or take bathtubs. What's that?
I don't say that. You're like, okay. I know you're doing this. No, I'm not. That's coming from you. That's your voice in your head.
That's my instinct. Yeah. Real men stand up when they fucking wash themselves. No, but you know what it is? It's the idea too of like truly taking it easy. I used to take baths when I played football in high school. I would take baths because that truly was a, you know, decompress and like, you know, it's not like it was, wasn't getting like sports massages. That was my recovery, I guess, was like to wash off, but also just to chill because I fucking hurt. And I'm just like, you know,
I was about to say the only way men will take a bath is if they're like, my body's in physical pain. I'm going to fill this with either Epsom salt or ice.
Yes.
That's the only way to do it.
And I've done it a few times, you know, with the ladies, but, and I'm not a giant fan. I'm not opposed to it.
Yeah.
It's if you get the right candles, the right music, a lot of, Annie Lennox, you know, if you've got, I can chill the fuck out.
If you're in a hotel with like a really nice tub, you got to do it there. But a lot of nice hotels don't have a bath. A lot of nice hotels only have a shower.
Yeah.
So,
I don't know. Taylor, you now have 535,000 Instagram followers.
Yes. Thank you for noticing.
I track every day. I think I asked you this last time we chatted, and by the way, thanks for making time again. Do you feel more pressure now with the rising, stardom and numbers to post more strategically, to post more? Is it making you like look at the things like stand up wise to put up more, or I see sometimes you even just post a dope pic with like tour dates and that does the trick. Like, you know, but you're also, you're sporadic with it, you know?
There was a while I was posting once a day, every day. And I don't know how much that helps. I really don't. I do feel like sometimes it hurts because then people are like, give me a fucking break. Like, it's you every day. And I don't think I'm like a good enough photographer. Like, there are like amazing accounts that I'm like, I want to see you every day.
Yeah.
I don't have that type of account, I don't think. So, and I also don't want to beat people over the head with tour dates. And I kind of am. Like, I posted a picture today that I didn't put any tour dates on. And it was probably the first one in a long time. But yeah, I mean, I think I mean, even like posting at certain times of day is just strategic. Wow. Couldn't even say that word for a minute. And I think we all do that, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Nobody's like throwing up posts at 11 p.m. anymore.
No, that seems a bit, I don't know what that move is. You know, there's certain times where the best, you know, that are more opportune, I guess, for the reach, but, I don't know. Is when you do the question, like if you're traveling, that's always seems to be your engagement with that stuff is always real impressive because it's a great way to connect with your fans. Also, you post some of these questions that people ask you are very much just like, I didn't know you took a stand-up class and that you and your dad signed up for it. Like, what was the best part? You know, something that's real deep, deep cut like that. And then some are just real, like, just go, I mean, you know, like, I don't know, not like favorite sexual position, but like, like, what was something that really got you really depressed recently? Like, something that's just like, and then you post those ones too. It's like a real nice balance of, you know, it's a more thorough, I guess, insight into what's going on.
Yeah, I try to do a nice balance of like, here's some real advice I would give about this situation. And here's one where I'm like, this is a dipshit question. Like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like, let's be funny about it, but also here's some nice ones. Like, yeah, I don't know. And it's pretty lazy. It's just so I am not somebody who's good at like selfieing my day. Mm. I'm not good at doing stories where I'm like, I'm over here. This is what we're doing. You know what I think is weird? Like, I'm not good at that.
Me either.
The only way I know how to engage consistently on stories, and I post so many swipe up links that I'm like, okay, I'll answer some questions and then throw the swipe up link in there because people will just stop watching your stories if all it is like, buy tickets to this, buy tickets to this, buy tickets to this. And I thank God that Instagram added that question and answer feature because it's made that so much easier. And I get so many questions, I can't get to all of them. And so I usually just like answer a bunch. And then if I feel like, you know, there are enough dots at the top, like if you feel like you've answered enough, you're like, okay, I can probably stop now. But it is time consuming. It takes a long time. And you do get the same questions over and over and over. And, you know, you're like, you really think nobody else has asked, are you single today? Like, that's what you're going to do. Like,
yeah, that was your one shot. Gotta shoot my shot.
Yeah, when you're in Kansas City, can I take you on a date? No. Who are you?
By the way,
there's a dog. Like, what are you doing?
No intro, by the way. No, like, name. No joke. No. And if your profile picture isn't even of you, that's a red flag in my book.
Huge red flag. Or like, I don't understand people sliding into the DMs of someone they don't know. And now, like a person with a larger following and thinking like genuinely thinking, I'm going to send this paragraph and maybe they'll see it. Like, what are you doing?
Now, do you read those? If you see a big one, does it pique your interest or are you like,
well, you can't tell if they're long until you look at them. I mean, right. Sometimes I'm good about checking DMs and sometimes I'm not. But yeah, every once in a while you look through them and you're like, this is crazy. And I have that community app and like, you just get, that's texting. So people are even weirder on there and you're just like, all right. But then sometimes people are really sweet and nice and they write you a long thing about how they relate to you. And they also broke off an engagement and their mom's dead. And you're like, okay, all right. That was sweet. Like, those are nice. But I also, do you do meet and greets after shows?
Oh yeah. I love it. Do them? Oh yeah.
Even with COVID and stuff?
Yeah.
Just carefully.
Yeah, as much as I can. Yeah, I mean, I try to be careful. Try to be not right up on you. I try to bow it a lot, not touch the hands. I feel like that's maybe my way of being a little safer. But I don't know. I guess it's also, you know, think about it from this standpoint. It's like, you know, I'm sure it does, even at your level, help to do that stuff, you know, to keep the connection with them. But they're already coming to the shows and you have no problem, you know, expanding the audience just because of, you know, what you're doing. But I feel like I need to, you know, still do that, and would like to think that I'll do that as things progress. But I also like it. And I, yeah, I don't know. I it's also like a thing. It's like I'm trying to get, you know, tag me in that picture and post it. And like, you know, wish I had like the chutzpah to be like what Joe Coy used to do, which was bring in a photographer and having them post the pictures on like his site, and you could go to the site and get it. But, and then, so it had to, you know, some that whole thing, but I'm not sure if you had to pay for it. I think it was just getting it off his site, making sure he controlled the picture and the quality of it, I think.
Wow. Yeah. That's impressive.
Totally.
That's such a big dick move.
What's that? It is. Yeah.
A big dick move.
Yeah, he's been a
photographer. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. I'm trying to get a little better like that with at least just the clips that I put up and invest in that part. And, yeah. And because I have so many crazy crowd work thing happen every show, I'm like, it makes me, you know, to put that up, it's just, you know, it just does matter. Like our boy Taylor that shoots our stuff in Arizona, there's a significant, it's, you
it
know,
looks incredible.
Yeah,
people are like, where can I watch this special?
Totally.
People think like film the thing, and you're, yeah, like, no, I would have put on more makeup. Yeah. Or a better jacket. This is just a really talented person who filmed it.
You do love your jackets. Now, you're saying sliding into DMs is a tricky move. What if it was Leo? What if Leo slid into your DM to say how big of a fan he is, and also he's starting a new line of women's jackets, and he wants you to like...
Oh, Leonardo DiCaprio? Is that who you're talking about? Who's,
yeah,
Leo?
Wow, I guess I just assumed there was only one.
Oh, I guess there... I was just like, who? Like...
Who did you think I was? Who did you think of when I said that? Or were you just lost?
I was just like, who's Leo for a second?
Gotcha.
And then I just needed the whole name, I guess.
What if I was just like a Leo, just a guy whose astrological sign? Right. No, if Leo DiCaprio.
No, he would never. I'm too old.
Good night, everybody.
I can't.
We'll be right back.
Would never happen. I get that these are hypotheticals, but I can't entertain impossible hypotheticals.
How about this?
Like, who's? Oh, sorry, I'm not 19.
Well, not with that attitude. Well, how about this? How about who would be the one to slip into your DMs, celeb-wise? And not even like, you know, that's my hall pass, but like somebody that gets in there that you're like, holy shit. You know what I'm saying? Where they give you like, I know, I think Eliza had that with Channing Tatum. Like,
Channing, you know, Tatum slid into her DMs?
She, I think, mentioned something about him. He saw her special, reached out, and then she met him somehow. But yeah.
Really cool.
Totally. So like, is there one like that where you would really step back and go, boy?
Yeah, Lily James. That's who it would be.
All right. Well, we gotta figure that out. Next time, don't.
I don't know. I'm so surprised anytime anyone's seen it. Mm. Like, I did Sophia Bush's podcast and I was like, oh wow, my PR team really did a great job getting me on this podcast. And she's like, no, I just saw your special. I loved your special. And she sent me like a video of her watching it. She's like, I show your special to friends of mine. She's like, you don't get it. I really love your special. And that was pretty cool. So yeah. Anytime somebody I just see is so far above me is like, I saw your special. I'm like, what? Who?
Yeah.
How? Put it on your Netflix too? I can't believe that. That's so cool. I don't know. Is there someone you would love to see your stuff and like slide in?
Oh yeah. I mean, I jokingly said, you know, Tom Hanks at a Panera, but if I did see him there, I would legit get real fired up. One of my faves, Denzel too. I like Dave Matthews a lot and I've met him once. But yeah. If he was a fan, if he, that's always cool. People that, and that's another thing why it's cool to have people that you respect in a certain, in their world, see you in your element. And that's what was really cool about Lily coming to the store was just, you know, I wanted to, again, take advantage of being able to share a cool experience with people that hadn't been to the Comedy Store before, like Comedy Show in L.A. But also it's like cool when, you know, people that, you know, you're like, wow, you are a fucking G in your line of work. And then they're looking at you thinking that with that. Yeah. And stand up truly is that for so many people. And we forget that where it's like, they're like, I don't even know, you know, how you're, you know, just the amount of respect people have for us.
You know what else is funny? I do think there are also a lot of people who don't feel that way, who are just outside of entertainment in general, who like, I think I was talking to Sam about this, where I was talking about seeing friends of mine from like high school who had like families or whatever. And I was just like, man, I just think their lives look so nice and so calm and whatever. And he's like, yeah, but they probably are like looking at your life going like, man, that would be amazing. That would be so cool. And I was like, no, I don't think they are. Like, I really don't think they are. I think they're like, I don't know how you're traveling that much. I don't know how you're doing. Oh, you know who I saw? Delaney just moved into a new place. Delaney Fisher used to do stand up.
Yep.
She doesn't do it anymore. She quit a while. She's so funny. She's so good at it.
Yeah.
She works for herself. She has like, she does like, she's a business consultant and works for herself and is crushing it.
Yeah. Real smart. And real funny.
Yeah. Just moved into a new place with her husband. And I went over and saw it, and it's just like a little home. And I was like, man, like, that just is a different life than what I'm living, where I was just like in New York and on the road for 3 weeks and just got home like 2 days ago, and I'm only home for 3 days. And then I go back on the road. And he was like, yeah, but I'm sure she's looking at your life going like, that's really cool. And I was like, yeah, I think she thinks it's cool, but she doesn't want to do this.
Right.
Like, she knows what it's like. And she's like, that's a lot. Like, I'm good. And I think just as many people are like, oh, I'm good. I wouldn't want to do that. I think it's totally cool. You can do it, but I don't want to do it.
It is a grass is always greener thing, but I think it's, I mean, I'm have similar friends like that where some are like, let me know when you need, you're at a level where you need like that entourage and you need people to travel with you and do this. And I have one friend with three kids who means it, who he is like, I will leave my family to go on the road with you. And he actually would be a great, I don't know if it's tour manager or what, but he would crush that. And it's, you know, I hope it happens at some point, but he also is such, he's crushing it with his kids. He's a homebody. He loves that. But he's a guy too, where it made me, you know, go, oh, maybe you can do both with kids. 'Cause he finds a balance. Sometimes he has to bring a kid to a certain thing to be able to do it. But he also like works it out with his wife to where it's like, I'm going to make sure I put in all the time and earn up the points so that I can use them on this getaway. And just find that balance, which I think is tough to do, but
you need a place for that though.
You do. Gotta have 1000%.
Cause I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to have kids. I have no idea. Like,
me neither.
Don't know how I'm going to do it. And I want them, but is that fair? I don't know.
Yeah. You mentioned high school pals, and I want to ask you, and I don't know if anyone's asked you this on your travel days on your IG story. Temecula Valley High School is where you went.
Uh-huh.
Do you know the list when you Google famous alumni?
Yes, I do.
The people that pop up?
Yes, I do. Well, okay. I've never Googled that, but a friend of mine from high school did message me at one point and said, like, you're on like the notable alumni part of Wikipedia.
Top five.
And it's like me and like a baseball player and like another sports person. And then I think like a porn star.
Yeah. Nicole Aniston.
Is that who it is?
Nicole Aniston. By the way, it says adult actress.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Now, why can't they just say porn star?
I said star. So I think that's better than adult actress. I think adult actress is actually insulting, because
it's almost like saying little person to a dwarf. You know what I'm saying? It's just,
porn star just sound more successful. Adult actress sounds like you're saying extra.
Yeah.
You know? It sounds like you didn't even have the sex. It sounds like you came over and were like, keep it down. Like, it sounds like you were the person who, like, caught the porn stars. Like, you were just, like, somebody's boyfriend in the porn who's like, what? Like, it doesn't...
Had one line.
Yeah. And I didn't know who that was. I don't know when she graduated. I didn't recognize. I recognized, like, one name on there. And I was like, I think he graduated with me. But there were also, like, 900 people in my graduating class.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was big. So I didn't know most people.
We had a girl who became an exotic dancer, I think, slash adult actress for a little bit. And back in the MySpace days, and I remember when a buddy sent me a link to her page, and her name was Rain. And I was like, well, that's kind of cool. Kept it in the family. She's from Seattle. She was like, my name is going to be kind of tied to my, you know, my upbringing. But there's got to be, I mean, how many people have someone from their high school that has gone on to do that type of work? Probably more than we think.
Yeah, probably more than we think. Probably more than comedians, I'm sure. Mm.
I just read this article of this gal. She was an ICU nurse, and she quit because she was making, I think, 60 grand a month on OnlyFans. Yeah. And she was crushing it at the hospital. But her coworkers, they found she would, like, post these, like, you know, provocative pics on the gram. And they took it to the boss. And the boss was like, I'm going to let you off with a warning, you know, just because I liked it. You know, no, I don't know what he said. They get off a warning and said, like, don't be posting that stuff. So then she did the OnlyFans thing, was crushing it, but under, like, an alias. And other coworkers found that, signed up for it, showed it to the boss. And they were like, you can't do this if you want to work here. So she quit. And she was like, that sucks. She goes, I didn't need it. She goes, I made way more money. She goes, but I'm really good at my job, and I love doing that. And, like, she had a deep history of medical care and just in that line of work. As far, it sounded like she was, you know, an asset. And you're like, oh, what a bummer that they were just like, and she's like, I don't even need to do this. I'm doing it because I actually enjoy, like, this is, so I guess I'll just go make more money doing that. But what do you feel about that?
Which part?
Who are you voting for?
Like, no. I should have gotten on OnlyFans instead of this? Probably. No, I'm not hot enough.
Shush.
But is that what you're asking about?
How do you feel about the people that have adjusted like that, and from careers like that, from being like an ICU nurse to then just to, I guess, anybody who, you know, pre or post pandemic is making cash that way?
I mean,
like, look, if you had a close friend that was doing it, would you judge them, or would you be like, go get yours?
Oh, I know people who do it, and it's like, yeah, go get yours. If you're, I can't do it because I'm not comfortable doing it. But I don't have any judgment about it. Like, I think if you don't feel comfortable doing something, you know, it's like, I don't know. I don't really have any feelings about it. I never really think about it. I think it's really hard to be successful at that. I think people, like, probably write off, I don't know, whoever, adult actresses, only people on OnlyFans. It's like, you're not, like, guaranteed to make a bunch of money from that. Like, you do, from what I've heard, still have to, like, promote yourself, and, like, you're creating your own content. Like, you have to invest in it. Like, it's not like, oh, just go do this and you can make so much money. It's like, no, there's a lot involved in it. There's talent and appearance and the ability to promote yourself and know what people want. And, like, hey, I will never judge anything that I couldn't do. Mm. You know?
Yeah.
What the fuck do I know about any of it? Like, I'm, like, impressed you figured out how to make money that way. I feel the same way about people on OnlyFans that I feel about Delaney being a business consultant. I'm like, how the fuck did you land that? That's amazing.
Yeah, totally.
How do you do that? Like, Delaney not only is a business consultant who works for herself, she has built up such a resume and such a word of mouth reputation. She deleted all of her social media because she's like, I don't want to be on social media, and is, like, crushing it. She's, like, turning people away. She's like, I have too many clients. Like,
wow.
That's, like, what I mean is, like, anybody who can create their own job and cultivate their own, like, fan base or client base whatever you're doing, whether it's sex work or consulting or an Etsy shop, like, I think that is so hard because there's so many people trying to do exactly what you're doing. 1,000%. And you do have to know what you're doing and really put the time in. I don't think it's like this easy fallback plan that everybody puts it into that box.
I think. Totally. Anything that even at that level, you're right, like involves a lot of dedication, work, and enough passion to where you're excited about it, to where you can try to turn it into something lucrative if that's the goal. Taylor,
she was like an elementary school teacher,
yeah,
and they found that's different. Like, you can't be like, I think if you're on TikTok and you're a teacher, you should be in prison. Like, I think that if you're lip syncing Olivia Rodrigo lyrics and posting it, that's not okay. Like, I think if you're like there are certain jobs where you're like, you can't be doing that. And I think it's pretty much only teacher. Like, if your kids could find you online.
Yes.
That's like a different thing, I think. But maybe, I don't know. They'd cue all the emails. Because I'm like, why is it a big deal if you're doing that? Why can't you work at the hospital? Like, what reason do they have? Just like, well, patients might recognize you. Is that the reason behind it?
Yeah, if anything, you're bringing more notoriety to the, like, maybe they're wanting to go to that hospital because it's almost like the way you hear about a good bagel at a deli. You're like, we're going to Cantor's instead of Greenblatt's because the sesame seeds are bigger. It's also like adult tattletales.
Oh my God. Ew.
What are you, to quote Sebastian, aren't you embarrassed?
I think people judge stuff that they're secretly jealous of. They just 1,000%. Like, oh, can't do it.
Yes, that's all it is. What shows did you get into in the last few months on the road? Because you've been hitting it hard. Your tour dates are nonstop coming up until the special. So what's getting you through when you really need to decompress? You mentioned Late Night Simpsons, but what else?
I really got into Rick and Morty. Never watched Rick and Morty. Blew through that, rewatching it. So
the whole, every show, every season?
Yeah.
I did one episode.
What?
I did one. I played Johnny Depp. I don't remember.
Oh, yeah, you did.
Oh, yeah.
You said you watched one episode. Yeah, I remember Sam and I watching it. We're like, hey, Adam Ray. Yeah, you just pop up in so many things that I'm kind of like nonplussed by it now. I'm just like, oh, yeah, Sam. But yeah, that show is so funny. And I'm a hard, I'm a hard laugh. Like, I don't laugh very easily.
I was going to ask, like, what makes you really laugh hard? Because we've had, you have a very infectious hard laugh, and I can tell that you are like selective and a little picky. And I think most of us are comedians I'm speaking of, but like, it takes a lot for me to, I wish I laughed the times when I laugh really hard. I'm like, fuck, I wish I did that every day, but I don't know if it's jaded or seeing too much or doing comedy too much that your palate is just, specific, but when you laugh real hard and genuine, it's pretty infectious. What gets you going usually to get you there?
It made me laugh really hard. I don't laugh that hard very often. It's really, really tough. Like, if I laugh really hard where you're like, oh my God, it hurts, it's probably something someone close to me said during a private moment or some weird TV show. Like, I really, like, the last movie I laughed really hard at was probably like MacGruber during the pandemic because I'd never seen it. That was probably the last time I've laughed really hard at a movie. And I have like so few movies that have made me laugh really hard. And before that, it's like Bridesmaids in high school.
Yes. I love that you said MacGruber because no joke, when I tell people, when people ask, what's the last movie in the theater you remember laughing at? I go, I know there was probably one since MacGruber. I go, but that's the one I last remember crying. Because I was laughing so hard. When he's in the cemetery and buck naked, I think having sex with the ghost of was it Kristen Wiig's character or Maya Rudolph? I think it was Maya Rudolph.
He's Maya Rudolph.
And they pan back and he's buck naked, dry humping the air, and you see like the graveyard guy staring at him. I was just like, I mean, it's such a sophomoric, like filthy whatever, but Will Forte is also just brilliant to me. But
yeah, oh my God, so good. It's I mean, I'm really not an easy laugher. Sam laughs really hard all the time. Like, he is a much easier laugh, and it's very charming and sweet because I would have never expected that from him. But he laughs really hard at stuff. Like, we watched, like, I think You Should Leave. There was one sketch that made me laugh really hard on a plane. The one, did you see the most recent season?
Yes.
Yeah, season two, the one where they're doing like the prank show and they put him in the bodysuit. Yeah. I was laughing so hard on a flight, I had to close it and like give myself a minute because I was next to this old guy who was sleeping and I was laughing so hard under a mask. I had to stop. It was like nighttime. It was like a nighttime flight. So that made me laugh really. That was probably the last thing that made me laugh really hard. I watched The Undoing on HBO.
And?
Have you watched that? Oh my God, it's so good. It's with Hugh Grant and Nicole Kidman. And it was something that I saw. I don't even know if I saw a trailer for it, but I just saw like, and I'm like, that looks like boring. And then Kelsey Cook told me to watch it. She's like, it's so good. And I was like, ugh, all right. And then I didn't watch it for like 2 weeks. And then my sister and I just put it on because we're like, we have to work on stuff on our computer, but let's just put it on. And we were like, fuck, this is really good. We watched the first two episodes and then I had to fly the next day. And I was like, yeah, Sam, just catch up to me and then I'll watch the rest with you. And I couldn't wait. And I just watched the rest of it. Then I got to New York and he was like, you watched it all? I was like, I'll rewatch it with you right now. I will start it over right now. And aww. I did. I watched the whole thing twice in like 3 days and it was great both times. It was so good.
Amazing. That rarely happens.
Yeah, it does rarely happen.
Do you like going back and forth to New York? Obviously, it's, you know, to make things go with you and Sam, but do you like the going back and forth?
It's also just I'm on the road so much. I will say doing the road out of New York is a lot easier than out of LA.
Yeah.
Just because you gain time. Like, I have to leave the day before certain gigs unless I want to fly out at like 6 a.m.
Yeah.
Out of LA. So that's a lot easier. I do really like New York. The summer is disgusting. And I do not want to spend a lot of time there, like in January. But I do really like New York. And I'm trying to see if I can do, you know, the bi-coastal thing. I'm from California. So like being back in California just feels very relaxing to me. And I think a lot of people feel that way. Because even in New York, when you're like, this is great, I love it, you're still kind of like, tense because there's so much going on.
Yeah. Well, you I'm constantly impressed at how you take care of yourself from all the stuff that's going on, because that is another, like, in and of itself, you know, easier said than done move, just to you know, be you know, mentally and physically with everything you're doing and all the travel. Like, you probably have gotten so good with a routine as far as like packing and when you unpack and what you're putting in, and like, or I mean, do you get excited when the week is coming up and you know have to travel like this next week, or are you kind of like, all right, here we go again, and then you get to the shows and then you're able to like get into it, or like which part of it gives you I guess stress, and what takes that away?
I get nervous the day before I leave for a gig, and then once you're there you're like, this is great, you're at work, this is fun, shows are fun. But I definitely get nervous before travel days, depending on how difficult it is. It's why, like, I opt to fly in the day before sometimes, because it's just less stressful.
Yeah.
And it's a lot to be flying for like 8 hours and then go do two shows. I'm like, I don't want to do this anymore. And I've just prioritized sleep as much as I can, because that makes a huge difference for me. And yeah, you get better at packing and you figure out what you're willing to buy when you get there. You're like, I need toothpaste there or whatever. But yeah, I think you have to figure out what works for you. That's why it's nice having Dustin on the road with me so much, is like, we just have a routine. Like,
it's awesome.
You know, he wakes up earlier than I do. I text him when I wake up and I'm like, are you out getting coffee? Where are you? And he's like, nope, I'm just in my room working on stuff. Whenever you want to leave and get breakfast, then we like get breakfast, we take a walk. You know, we go do something in the city that we're in, and then we go back to the hotel. So we have like 2 hours before shows, and then you go do shows. And I think you're right. I think having a routine when you're traveling as much as we are is so important, so you don't just lose your goddamn mind.
Yeah, which can happen even when you have a routine.
Yes.
But yes. I remember when we were in Aspen and we did our show, and then you were like, peace. And I was like, I think I'm going to go try to find Becky Robinson out in downtown Aspen. And you were like, good luck. Bye. Yeah.
We have fun with that Where's Waldo mission. I'm going to go to sleep. I'm like, that sounds very fun. I'm sure wherever Becky Robinson is, it's a great time going on. I am tired. Yeah, I'm not. I would like to be more open to stuff like that on the road. I'm just tired, man. I'm gone so much. I travel so much. You do so many shows. I don't have the stamina.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Totally. It's a lot. The people think it's just all fun, and it is a lot, but it's like, man, there's a lot that goes in, especially after two shows. When I will be in places where friends come out, like just, you know, in Seattle a few months ago, and buddies I hadn't seen in a long time, like eight came out to the last show, and I was done. And I wanted to go back to my folks' place. I stay with them when I'm there. And, you know, I know my mom would be up, shoot the shit. She'd probably have some sort of late night mom meal, have that, chill. But it was like, went out and you know, you try to then go, if I'm going to do it, like rise up, I'm not going to, you know, go crazy, but at least like be present and try to, it's honestly a lot of times, and this is a tough balance, and I'm curious how you deal with it too. When you go, oh wow, they all came out. Only one of them didn't have kids. So it was their like, we haven't seen you in a while. We got the pass to come to the show and stay out for a while. So I was like, I have no option here.
Yeah.
And yeah,
like the show is still happening.
Totally. And
it's still going on.
Yeah. And you're like, I wish I could just say, and they would understand if I was just, I'm tired, but then for sure they'd be bummed and be like, what the fuck? Like, this is our, like, you know, we got like, the night off.
You can do that without me. That's why I have a hard time doing meet and greets. I'm worried about getting sick. I was worried about getting sick even before COVID.
Yeah.
Also though, it's just people, my jokes are very personal. And I'm like, I just told you guys a lot of stuff about me. Like, did I not give you enough?
Totally.
You know, like I can't then go out and talk to you about your very personal experience that like is similar to mine and be affected in that way. Like, it's just, it's too much to then do that and then go do another show. If I was just doing one, that would be a different thing. But
yeah,
you know, when friends of mine are like, we're coming to your show. Do you want to get dinner beforehand? I'm usually like, oh, I can't. But I of course will come out and say hi. Like, yeah. I want to say hi after.
Yeah.
But I can't be like going to dinner and then going on stage, you know, 30 minutes later.
It's too much.
It's too much.
All right. We're going to close out with a quick 10 question inside the Actor Studio questionnaire. RIP to the late, great James Lipton. You would have been on the show, no doubt, at some point. So let's do it now. Taylor, what is your favorite word?
Oh, I don't know. I'm not sure.
All right, we can come back to it.
I know. My siblings and I just saw Princess Bride at Street Food Cinema, so I'll say inconceivable.
Yes. Great call and great movie. Wait, is that where they do the outdoor?
Yeah, they have a bunch of locations. I'd never been to one, but they go all the time. And they did Princess Bride at like some ranch, some like nature reserve place, and it was so cool.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, it was awesome.
What is your least favorite word?
Oh. I really hate the word pussy. I really don't like it. To me, it's like up there with moist. You know, people don't like the word moist. I'm like,
yeah.
Pussy. Like, I just can't.
What if you were a big fan of like the pussy willow tree? How would you handle that? All right. I don't know.
How would you handle it if you liked? If it was my favorite tree, I'd probably feel differently.
Look, once I hit the hour mark, the questions just really take a turn. All right, what turns you on?
Sexually or just in general? Like
people ask that, and I think it's in general. But I think you can say, like Matthew McConaughey, when I asked him this, said confidence and then. Tits. No. He said, what if he was like confident breasts? No, he
good posture.
good posture. That does sound like a McConaughey answer. What's that?
Really does it for me, good posture. I think confidence is a good answer. I like confidence. I like honesty. And I like when people have very like chill energy and are comfortable with themselves. Hmm. Probably because I'm jealous of it. And I don't feel like I have that all the time. So that's all a turn on for me.
All right. Now give me the materialistic, you know, the beefy answer. What's the
beefy answer? I mean, oh God, like physically?
Yeah. Like a good back.
I feel like, I mean, sure. Who doesn't love a good back? I'm not, I think people are really into backs, but I'm not one of those people who's like, turn around before we go any further.
Do this. I want to see all those muscles work.
Yeah. I like, what do I think is attractive?
Like eyes,
a shoulder. I think a broad shoulder is good, but I also, I tend to go for like tall, thin people, which is probably pretty, pretty shallow of me, but I like that. I like a good voice. Mm. People have great voices. That's very attractive.
Sam does have a great voice.
Such a good voice.
Yeah.
Such a good voice. And is very good at doing like accents and stuff, which is weird. Very silly dude. It's very strange.
That's cool.
But good hair, good teeth.
Yep.
Yeah.
How about just teeth in general?
Teeth in general. Look, teeth is a deal breaker for me personally. I don't want to come off like a bitch here.
No.
I need at least four teeth to even go to coffee with them.
Yeah.
And they got to be up front. I mean, if you have no molars, that's between you and God. But I need some party teeth. I need some this is my person teeth.
Yeah, I don't want to have to say prove it when you tell me you have four teeth in the back. And you're like, well, they're hiding in the back. I save them. They're my play. Which is how I get up. And you're like, this is, I have to go. My friend's waiting for me.
Love good hair, good teeth. Cool. Everybody likes good skin. Mm. People who know how to dress themselves. You know what I mean? Like people who just know how to dress.
Yeah.
Impressive.
It's impressive.
It is. It's
all right, nice. Good. That was a good, thorough answer. Right. All right, Taylor, what is your favorite curse word?
I mean, probably fuck. It's just so, universal. So multi-purpose, you know? Yeah. It's like you can put it on anything.
Now, do you like hitting the, it's like a Nutella. If you were to hit the F harder, are you more of like coming in with the CK? Like, are you like, fuck, or is it just a good fuck?
I like a staccato fuck, I think. Yeah. I like when I get really mad, I like that you can use fuck in different ways. Like it can be a verb, an adjective. I like that you can call someone a fuck.
Totally.
So good.
Somebody was telling me the other day, they're like, I wish I said oh, it's Joel McHale. He goes, I wish I could say get fucked more like the way the British do. He's like, I want to adopt that and like have that be in the rotation. We're like, get fucked.
So good. Get fucked, motherfucker.
Yep.
Fuck me. Fuck.
Fuck really- off. Fuck off is fuck. Real powerful. I am a big fan. I told a kid once to fuck off and it felt great. He was 15, but we were playing. Okay.
All right, that's fine.
Yeah. It was a pickup game at the gym where my folks live, and these kids were just being little shits and ball hogs. And one of them was just talking shit. And I said, fuck off. And it built up, by the way. And he had said a lot of things to me that I won't repeat because they were true and hurtful. No.
I would have given you 12.
Thank you.
So you said 15. Would have given you 12. And that was all right.
12 is, 12, I feel like you are dishing it out. So. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Even by 10, I mean, some of the shit my nephew says to me at 7, I'm like, wow.
Porn on your phone? You can fuck off.
What sound or noise do you love?
What sound? These are very sexual questions.
Well, these are all, look, this is Lipton's doing. So.
Oh, this is Lipton's lip. Wow.
I watched
a full Inside the Actors Studio.
Oh, yeah, baby. This is what it was. So.
what sound do I love? I like the sound of rain.
Cool. That's good.
The adult actress we were just talking about. I like the sound.
Good callback. Wow. And I wish you meant that. That's so funny. I like the sound, just whether it's, you know, her, you know, mid film or discussing an upcoming project.
I like rain towards the end. That's what I like.
I really do like that too. That's, and we don't get enough of that down here. It's anytime we get an overcast day or rainy day, love it because it takes me back home and I really love those days. But then I think you get spoiled down here. 2 days of it, I'm like, let's go, sunshine.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. What sound or noise do you hate, Taylor?
Oh my God. I was just on the street in LA and I hate when cars like rev. Like I hate loud cars. Oh, yeah. I'm not a car person, so I don't know the proper terminology. When cars are like I hate that so much. It makes me cringe. It makes me physically angry and tense. And it can put me in a bad mood for like 20 minutes.
Oh wow.
That bad. It really affects me.
Almost like it's directed towards you. Like they're like, Taylor Tomlinson's at the Comedy Store patio. You know what to do, Barry.
I also hate the sound of the subway going by you when you're not getting on it. Like the screeching. I hate it. I hate it so much. I cover my ears. I think I'm sensitive to sounds.
What a great realization to have mid-pod.
I'm realizing that right now.
What profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
I mean, OnlyFans. I think we've established it. No.
We have.
I would like to have an OnlyFans where I only do pornographic scenes as an elementary school teacher.
Yep, that is probably, I mean.
We got it all in there. No, I think I always used to say teacher, but I think kids annoy me and it is a lot of performing all day. I'd love to write like kids books. I think that would be cool.
Whoa.
Do what you want all day. I think that'd be a fun one.
Wow. It's so funny when people say certain things they want to do. And I don't know what, there's probably a word to describe this. I don't know if they get serendipity or kismet. It's in that ballpark. But you saying that made total sense to me. And I could almost see it happening. You know what I'm saying? Just saying it where I go, yep, that's the thing you'll do.
Yeah.
Is what I just heard. What is that?
I don't know. That's maybe what I'm supposed to be doing. You're like, you should do that. You should stop doing this.
No, that just sound. Yeah. I just feel like I see that whole world for you. So maybe. put a pin in that. All right. Last one. Second to last, what profession would you not like to do?
For real OnlyFans. I couldn't keep up with that. I'd be so uncomfortable doing that. I don't know why I would end up in that job. I had like a pageant mom who's like, I couldn't do it, so you're gonna do it. Like, I don't know why you'd be thrown into that. I'd be a really bad, I think I'd be a terrible stripper. I'm just not coordinated. I'm not coordinated and I'm not confident. I'd be a bad dancer of any kind.
Do you at least have a stripper name picked out?
No. I have a cousin who's like a professional ballet dancer. And I'm like, I could never.
How about Gumby?
I could be Gumby. I could do that. I would never want to work at a theme park.
Oh, how dare you?
I don't know if I want to do anything besides stand up or write kids books. Now that I'm thinking, I'm like, I'm just going to list every job. I'm like, couldn't be a lawyer. Don't want to do that. Yeah, I don't want to be a doctor.
No way. Too tough.
Got nothing. Not a ton of jobs. I don't want to play music.
Would you go to space?
No. Ew.
No. Tom Cruise is going there for a movie I just heard. Of course.
They're going to film it in space?
Yeah.
Or he's meta.
I think it's... No, I think they're going to... It's. I don't know if the whole movie's going to take place there, but he's going there for it to,
That's nuts.
And you want to be like, dude, there's a soundstage right over there. We got green screens, man. They can. Have you seen Gravity? Have you seen Apollo 13?
They say he likes to do his own stunts, right? He's just really taken. Yeah.
He apparently in Mission Impossible, the stunt where he was running down the glass building, a stunt guy they had was like, that's too dangerous. And he was like, well, then you're fired and I'll find somebody who doesn't think it's that dangerous. Cruise out. I don't know if he did that last part, but he fired the guy.
Wow.
Yeah. Power move.
Yeah.
All right. Last question, Taylor. If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
I loved your special. That's what I'd like to hear. Would you like to do my podcast?
Oh, my God. That's the best answer I've heard.
I sent you a DM. I don't know if you saw it. I've been trying to get verified, but, you know.
Oh, my God. That is so fucking funny. Would you do my podcast? That's so funny. And then also, like, very, like, you're like, yeah, but when I get to heaven, like, hopefully, like, what's going to help subside the idea that I'm here, you know,
yeah,
that I'm here and that life is, you know, that chapter's done. Like, and God's like, dude, big fan. You want to, you don't have to wear the headphones if you don't want to, but I feel like, oh, man.
You can probably hear me in your head already, right?
Oh, my God. Very funny. Strong way to end it. All right. This ruled. You're the best. Thanks for always making time and keep crushing it. I hate that I said that. I hate when people say that. Go keep doing it. You're like,
I feel like you really mean it though.
I do. But when people say that to me, friends, family members, keep doing it, man. It's like, you know what? I was actually thinking about hanging it up tonight, but that. It's going to keep me going for another 2 years, I think. No, but it's, yeah. You know, the sentiment is genuine. You know what they're trying to say. And I mean it to you because it's you're just a beast and you're so funny. And the special, sorry if you didn't get tickets, but you'll get to watch it. But hey, TaylorTomlinson.com for all the other. I mean, you have like 3 or 4 months here to go see the hour. Yeah. Before.
Yeah. And we're
and more.
We're gonna be touring next year too. We're announcing those dates soon, like the second leg of the tour. So yeah, go to ttomcomedy.com. Follow me on Instagram. I'm always posting about dates there. Yeah. But we're all over the place, and it starts. The theater tour starts next month with like Florida and Minneapolis and St. Louis, I believe.
By the way, think about how things are now, and then the next special comes out. I mean, you're gonna be able. Shark Tank's gonna call and be like, we saw that edible lingerie joke. We actually would like to turn that into a reality.
And I'm like, thank you so much. I wrote that alone. We'll help with that.
Hilarious. All right. You're the best. Have fun next week.
Thanks, man.
Thanks, Taylor. You too, buddy. Bye.
Hey guys, it's Jack
and Miles
from the Daily Zeitgeist, and on August 25th at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. for all you filthy night owls on the East Coast, we are bringing you the year 2000 in a live streaming audio-visual extravaganza.
An iconic moment, if you will, where we riff on the ridiculous styles, trends, news, and music from the year 2000, and you know we will definitely be talking about Shrek. And we might even answer some of your questions.
And just generally, we're going to be taking a deep dive into the ideas and trends from Y2K that you didn't realize actually created and kind of ruined the modern world.
Yes. And we are thrilled to be joined with a special guest, none other than Chris Crofton, who may or may not have a murky recollection of the year, but whose takes are wonderfully accepted nonetheless.
And you can watch it all from the comfort of your own home, office, car, public pool, public bathhouse, wherever you want to watch it.
Wow. And don't worry, if you can't be there live, you don't have to worry, because your ticket gets you access to the video on demand version of the show, so you can watch it anytime you want.
Watch it at your leisure. But you that is how I pronounce that word. But you have to get a ticket. So go to momenthouse.com/thedailyzeitgeist. That's momenthouse.com/thedailyzeitgeist. Be there.